This is the opening market podcast for Thursday on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Eric Rolf of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Eric, what's taking place in the grains?
Actually kind of a bright spot in the overnight trade. You know, here in the break, corn up 6 cents, beans up 12. Wheat a little positive as well after just taking a lashing yesterday. You got KC up 12, Chicago up 5. So, you know, definitely a good feel to the morning here, but we're also kind of prepping for WASDE report tomorrow. That's the more important one, crop production, kind of a moot point this time of year. Export sales come out this morning and impressive in corn, and maybe the most surprising piece of it was it's fairly impressive for beans. We actually beat the top end of the range of trade expectations for the weekly export sales in soybeans. First time we've done that in quite some time. Meal had a huge week in the export market last week. Didn't see that again this week, but that's to be expected following the big numbers we saw last week. Soybean oil had a really nice week, which we haven't seen for quite a while. So there are some things to hang your hat on in the grains. And of course, with the weakness that we've seen over the past several weeks and making those lows, technically, it looks a little better as well. So maybe we'll put something together here.
Eric, I'm not sure I would have thought you would have used the word impressive for the corn and soybean export sales numbers because it's been so paltry lately. So what's kind of been driving that?
Well, at some point, low prices cure low prices. And I think we've finally gotten to a point where we're starting to see a little more interest in U.S. origin grain, although China's still buying large quantities from other sources. You know, you talk about their Canadian canola purchases, Ukrainian corn purchases, Brazilian soybean purchases. Those are the big ticket items, and we've been hearing about that nonstop. And none of that is business here, right? But we are getting enough of these smaller sales to add up on a weekly total. You only saw one daily flash sale last week of corn to Taiwan, and then a nice daily flash sale of meal to unknown destination. So the numbers are low enough where we should be piquing some interest around the globe, but we're still not competitive in some of these markets where you've got the likes of Russia undercutting the world. They've dropped $25 a ton in the past 30 days. They've gone from $225 a ton to $200 a ton for wheat. And they're just, it's like a fire sale. And it's hard for anyone to buy anywhere else when they're putting prices out like that.
And on Friday, we get the next WASDE report. What are you looking forward to learning in that report?
Well, is the USDA going to make a real adjustment to the Brazilian production number? That's going to be what everyone is looking at the hardest. That's going to be the most scrutinized number initially when that report comes out. And if the USDA is making some kind of meaningful adjustment lower to their production estimate, then maybe we keep this market supported and we can keep some upward momentum. But if we see the USDA do what they did last time, where they reduce a million metric tons, that's not going to be enough to move the needle. And that would be actually quite bearish at this point. So the Brazilian soybean production number is by far and away going to be the most widely watched and heavily scrutinized.
On the other side of the ag marketplace, what's happening in the protein sector?
Cattle are struggling this week. You've seen some nice days, you've seen some bad days, but the cattle market is generally in a little bit of a struggle here. And that's, you know, we're at lofty levels. We're having trouble adding any value to the cash. I would say the biggest bright spot that we've seen of late is box beef cutout. You're looking at choice boxes sustaining above 300 for the first time in history. You've seen it poke 300 a time or two, but now, you know, we're multiple weeks above 300 and holding that level. So, you know, the beef prices are still there. That has waned demand a little bit, but that's what the packers wanted. They wanted to be able to slow these chain speeds and keep the kill numbers down a little bit because we all know where we're headed as far as harvestable cattle. And the numbers are continuing to get lighter. So we've got to make some kind of adjustment. So you've got to wane demand a little bit. You've got to increase imports a little bit. You've got to cut back on exports. There's a lot of ways to feather the throttle, so to speak, and they're doing all of them. Of course, one of the big stories over the past week and really started last week was the fires in Texas and Oklahoma. And how much impact is that going to have? Well, it's probably not going to be huge. But the thing to keep in mind about that is, when you're talking about pasture cattle in February, they're cows and they're replacement heifers. And, you know, this just adds to numbers that have been astronomically high for kill cows and slaughter cows. We've been taking out the mamas. and that's going to be hard to recover from.
Eric, with the Hogs right now, it does seem like better footing overall, but do you kind of agree that this is a much better spot for the Hogs than even what we saw just a very short time ago?
Oh, yeah, much better. And, you know, it's understandable when you're pushing June, July, August, you're pushing those contracts up into the 103, 104 range. You're going to run into hedge pressure, especially when you've got a market that's just grossly overbought. And that was the case in the Hogs. When you looked at the charts, especially in the summer months, you've got oscillators indicating, you know, we need to take a break. And that's about the time you would start to see hedge pressure. The market will stall out a little bit and they'll decide at that point, okay, these are profitable levels. Let's lock something up. Then you see some kind of a retreat and here we sit after a couple of days lower. Now, are we going to continue to go lower? That's a coin flip. Cash was impressive yesterday, so it really could go either way for the coming couple of sessions. But, you know, I guess I wouldn't be surprised to see the Hogs take a little bit of a breather here before maybe continuing an upward move based on some of the other stories we're hearing about disease and lack of availability for wiener pigs and some of those things.
Eric Ralph of Comstock, our guest here today. Eric, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Well, you can find us on all the social media platforms. You can check out the Comstock channel on YouTube. You can go to our website at comstock.com or just give us a call at 712-227-1110.
Eric, thanks so much for the time here today. Have a great rest of your week.
Mark, you do the same. Thank you.
That was Eric Rolfe with Comstock. It is time now for a check of the numbers. May corn up 6 even at 434 and 3 quarters. May soybeans up 10 and a half at 1158 and 3 quarters. May soybean meal up $3.20 at $333.60. May soybean oil up 42 cents at $45.74. Chicago wheat up a half cent at $5.31 and a half. Minneapolis wheat up 7 and a quarter at $6.52 and a half. Kansas City hard red wheat up 7 even at $5.63 and a quarter. And May oats up 2 and a half at $3.59 even. On the Merck, April live cattle up 32 cents at $187.57. March feeder cattle down 47 cents at $250.55. April lean hogs down 10 cents at $84.90. April pork cutout down 7 cents at $92.42. And Class 3 milk up 3 cents at $16.56. This has been a check of the opening markets on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.